right. I'll do my little my intro. Don't laugh. It's been a while, ladies and gentlemen. We've been on hiatus. We're back. This is AJ, the co-founder of Spila, with the Bedroom to Boardroom podcast with our esteemed guest, Muhammad Malik, one of the champions, the mentors at OneTech's Founders Door program for diverse staff or diverse talented entrepreneurs. Tell them about yourself.
Appreciate you, man. So, yes, as AJ mentioned, thank you for having me, firstly. And as AJ mentioned, I'm one of the champions here for this exciting initiative, Founders Door, 6-week pre-accelerator. And I've just today led a workshop on mindfulness for entrepreneurs. And so what I do, my background is in finance. So I graduated in accounting and finance. Thereafter, I worked as a graduate in the graduate scheme at Deloitte. Worked in investment banking for a bit. Then I went into the world of startups, right? And my first venture went completely flopped. And after that, man, I had to go, you know, learn a bit more about myself. That prompted a lot of self-reflection. And then after that, went into launched a watch brand called Virage, and also an education startup called Ramadan Legacy, which I'm the co-founder of. And I do that, and I'm also coaching first-time founders and leading workshops. So that's
busy,
me, bro.
Busy man, securing all the bags, huh?
Securing half bags, empty bags, all types of bags.
So let's run through our icebreakers. First concert you ever went to?
Yo, I'm not gonna lie, I'm trying to keep it halal these days, but I went to, I don't know if this counts as a concert, but the first thing I went to was something called Amela, which is an Asian, like a funfair slash concert, open door concert. So yeah, it was called the Gunnersbury Park Mela. It's like an Asian Indian Pakistani thing. So yeah, that was my first concert.
Cats and dogs.
Ooh, I love them both, man. But I have to say cats.
You have to pick one. There we go.
I have to say cats, because, you know, slightly more hygienic, easy to keep within the home without having to take them out. So yeah, cats.
Less needy as well. They just do their own thing, you know.
100%, man. 100%, man. But yeah.
Favorite genre of music.
So obviously grew up on the classic, you know, Biggie, Nas, Big L.
I thought you were going to go classical music. The Wagner.
Wagner, you get me, bro. Yeah, Mozart there in the background while I'm studying. But yeah, so music, like the classics. And to be honest, I went into a lot of different phases, man. Dubstep, that kind of stuff.
Drum and bass.
Yeah, drum and bass, all of that. But yeah, recently, I cut jungle, bro, trust me. But recently, I'm not going to lie, drill is doing it, man. I just feel that we need to change the topics. You know what I'm saying? We need to change the content a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on my way to work listening to like Heady One or like Pop Smoke.
100%.
Listen to all those bangers whilst I go get my legal money. So
100%, my bro. So I just feel that the content, maybe we have to tweak it slightly. But bro, like, you can't beat Heady One and these people. So yeah. Man, that's it, man.
If you could create a slogan for your life, what would that slogan be?
Yo, AJ, this is how you know it's AJ that's doing the interviews, because you know it's going to be deep like that, right? So
Thank you.
So I think this is a prompted some self-reflection, but rather than creating a quote, I thought, let me just go with a quote from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he said, be in this world as if you are a traveler or a stranger upon the path, right? And for me, that's deep, man. It's just so relevant for entrepreneurs. It's about going about your day to day without being attached to the outcome, right? So I just feel that it's, you know, being a traveler and being a learner more than anything else is the way to go, is the way to live your life.
Yeah. Man, I think that might be the best we've had so far.
Oh, I appreciate you, my boy.
Worst job you've ever had?
Oh, wow, man. This is going to be some vulnerable times, you know what I'm saying? But I want to be real. You know what, man? I want to be real for you. You're my bro, man. So I've got to be real for you. But like, so after I left Deloitte, right? As I was at a point where I was leading kind of audits as well, doing more analytical stuff. As you know, with graduate schemes, you start with, you know, from the bottom. starting from the bottom, you get what I'm saying? So I started from the bottom, started going into more analytical stuff. And in order to break into investment banking, and particularly Islamic banking, I went for an entry-level position at a bank called Qatar Islamic Bank, right? Okay. And it was a finance entry-level thing. And bro, this humbled me differently. When I went in with all my knowledge that I had from audit or whatever, like, I was doing very basic kind of work. And for me, and not only that, but also in a very toxic environment where the CFO was leading a very tight ship. And this, for me, was my worst job at the time because of how it made me feel. But looking back, I realized it was just a perception thing. You get me? So I'm just there doing a lot of my work. And yeah, for me, that finance assistant / entry level job that I took in order to break in, it was something that was a very difficult time for me, having to undersell myself. And yeah, that was my potentially my worst job, man.
I'll share mine. Third year of university.
Yeah.
I was trying to bootstrap a startup, a fitness clothing brand for students by students. I was living like month to month, so I needed some additional income. So I was a cleaner at the Odeon Cinema.
Wow.
I'd get there at like 8 o'clock, work from 8 o'clock to 2 a.m. I know he was there, just do my cleaning.
But bro, that's calm. Wax on, wax off. You feel me? Just a little bit of that. I know that Muay Thai okay. Training. You feel me?
Mr. Miyagi would have been proud.
100%.
So, zombie apocalypse is coming. I always struggle with that word. Who are the three people you want on your team?
Bro, I love this question. I would like some gorillas trained from Vietnam and, you know, all of that. But but for me, like, to make it fun, I'd like to say Bruce Lee, Jet Li, and Ong Bak, you feel me?
Okay.
These three. Yeah,
okay, listen, that's a winning team. So we've touched upon your career, the traditional path of going to university, joining a financial service company, figuring out it wasn't quite for you, and branching into the world of entrepreneurship. There's going to be a few of our listeners who are going that traditional path. Mm-hmm. I know that I thought that was the path that was laid down for me. What advice would you give to perhaps a 18-21-year-old version of yourself going down that path? Not too sure that it's for them, but the main reason being access to money at a relatively young age.
That's a very good point, man. So definitely for me, money was a major issue. You know what I'm saying? Miami. To put it into two words, man, it's about taking a calculated risk, right? So not just what I did in retrospect was just being driven by, I was pissed off, right? I was pissed off by how I was treated and not respected in the workplace, or rather, not only that, but I just felt like I was doing some bummy work and, you know, I'm more than this. That's not the motivation that should be, you know, to take the leap, so to speak, right? Or leaving the rat race in order to do your own thing. The way to go about it, I think James Carney mentioned this in a LinkedIn post, and he said, take calculated risks, not just Gary V hype. Boom, I'm done about doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that's it, it's me now. Okay, you know, just face it, it's just going to be me. So my advice would be, yes, when we talk, money's a major issue, we have to take that into consideration. Look at, before you even dream about going into the startup world, right, you're going to have to learn how to organize yourself, my brother and sister. You're going to have to learn how to, you know, adopt that 9-to-5, 5-to-9 grind. And a very important, and one thing to look at is, obviously you might have heard about this, but it's the Side Hustle podcast. Learn the art of side hustling before you can, you know, before you actually invest your time and energy and everything into your startup, rather than going full out the way that I did and end up kind of going through so much stress within yourself and in your life. So that's my advice to people that are, you know, 18 or going into wanting to take the leap and start their own thing, is take calculated risks, my brother, my sister. Make sure it's calculated and go about it in a way that is, you know, self-organization first and using your time to the best of your ability.
Perfect. Really appreciate that. As a founder, what are somebody who's founded businesses, seen some success, seen some failures, been humbled, fundamentally just driven the roller coaster that is entrepreneurship. Mm. What are some of the common myths in the startup ecosystem, and can you debunk them?
Okay, so there's one that some of your viewers might disagree with me on, right? And it's
you're controversial. Yeah, that's what we like.
Controversial thing, you feel me? So, and a lot of people that I meet, especially facilitators of accelerators and incubators, they come across ego, completely being ego-driven. And to an extent, you do obviously need an ego in order to get through, seed funding, and then get your Series A, Series B, whatever it is that your startup goals are. You need some ego, but that's not the common myth is that you have to be completely ego-driven, right? And that's the one that I'd like to dispel and say that rather it's about being a balanced individual, and especially when it comes to designing your products and keeping customer development and keeping the customer in mind in terms of your startup and in terms of incorporating them into your decision making, transcending your ego and essentially being one with your customer is just priceless in terms of longevity, in terms of developing products that are customer centric, and in terms of just being an all-round investable person, you see, because a lot of it, because when we're just fully ego-driven, man, we just, you know, people get turned off from us and our products and as well as this. So yeah, that's the common myth about ego that I like to discuss.
Following upon that, I guess it's a question I have to ask. If one is an ego-driven, what's left to drive you?
That's a very good point. So what can help? So a person, an example of somebody that's an ego-driven person, right?
Donald Trump,
man. Yeah. So I was going to say about like a more well-rounded person. So think of it as your gift. If you're ego-driven, but round yourself ground yourself.
Okay.
With things like meditation, like a meditation practice. Like literally, like you mentioned, cleaning. I know an example of an entrepreneur that goes cleaning toilets of mosques, right? So, or like prayer places or churches or wherever you want to go, do some sort of a service that really humbles you, right? So that ego is a gift in terms of allowing you to push through in hard times, but realize that you don't want to be an extreme version of that ego. So just humble yourself, ground yourself. And that way you'll be a more well-rounded person. And it's all about just developing, man. And I mentioned today in the workshop that it's just the journey. It's about loving the journey. You see entrepreneurs, they're in love with the process, right? So you just have to realize that we're all on this journey and we're always growth mindset. We can always change. So
let's say I'm a young man. I'm interested in business. Listen, I want to get a more holistic approach of business by working in one. You've been fortunate enough to get into a graduate scheme at Deloitte, a top four banking company. How did you find that industry? Was it welcoming to yourself, to your peers from underrepresented backgrounds?
Very good point. So in terms of diversity and inclusion.
For sure.
So I was very lucky when I was at university that an organization called SEO London that work with BAME students had a pipeline at that time to help students get into professional services, i.e. audit, financial audit within these top companies like EY, PwC, the big four basically. So through their help, I was able to get in. But I've seen, it's pretty ridiculous how some individuals, with names that are, quite what people would perceive to be non-white names, applying to places, with
John Frank, John Smith,
exactly.
Henry Hempstead, Henry
exactly,
Pitchard.
Like very Muslim or like
Tim African Jefferson, standard
names. Exactly. Being able to, getting rejected with their real name and then coming and applying with a fake name and then getting that same exact position. So there's a huge issue over here. But when I actually got in, I see, quite a few people, brothers and sisters that are from BAME backgrounds. And there's a lot of support there as well, a lot of faith networks. There's the Jewish Society, there's the Christian Society, Islamic Society, there's African Network, there's the Indian Network, and a lot of these things, right, that are there to support. And funny enough, right, there was one partner that whose job was, head of diversity, and he would, I was a part of the Islamic Network at Deloitte, specifically for the energy and resources sector. And we would have a dinner every Eid, right? And this Eid is twice a year. So he would sit down and he would talk to us about how he would love to see us progress in Deloitte and how there's a lack of BAME and Muslim basically people coming into directorship positions and partnership positions. So that was something that was supported a lot. But there's always that aspect of whether... And a big part of promotion, however, in reality, is being able to gel with those people who are already partners, who are already, very much middle-aged white people into their own things, which are obviously golf and whatever, I don't know what they're into. but a lot of us coming from backgrounds that we are from, exactly. coming in there, it is very difficult, especially for myself. A lot of these... So I had to work twice as hard outside to be able to be a friendly person and crack two jokes, because I'm not going to be the person that's going to be sitting down in bars and having a two drinks or whatever. As a Muslim. There's that support, but then there's that reality aspect that hits when you're trying your best to get your promotion, right? It's about perhaps raising awareness in terms of the hierarchy, obviously the more the partners and the higher ends, higher ups, and realizing that there's
the more you go up, the less diversity there is, for sure.
Exactly, bro, exactly.
And so again, it's the ins and the outs groups, and everyone at the top levels in the in. So, if we can just rewind to before we are looking for a promotion, just being somebody joining a company, trying to acclimate. I've been there before myself, right? You enter a company. And you look around and you see no one who looks like you. And then maybe, as you said, you try to go to the social and you realize that it's very alcohol heavy focused. You said you tried to go extra above and beyond to do what you could do in terms of, trying to acclimate to that culture, trying to be more seen as more inclusive in that culture. Mm. How would you recommend somebody who's just joined a graduate role or just started whatever role in a new company, noticed a lack of diversity and inclusion in their company, but still have to navigate?
Okay, very, very good point, man. So an example that comes to mind is of a Bengali hijabi sister who every year on year at Deloitte, she got the highest ratings, right? And she would never go to any of these. Shout out to her. Her name is Shamima. Hold tight, Shamima, man. And also another brother who's Uzbek, and his name is Dilmurod at Deloitte. He's now a senior manager at Mitsubishi as a finance. So these two people are examples of people that are. So Dilmurod himself, he didn't even crack banter that much as well. But he was just, he was just about his work, right? His priority was, I'm going to get my work done. I'm going to put my heart into it. I'm going to be proud of the work that I sign off on, right? That was his vibe. And people rated him for that. And he was just a nice person who would always help out. And these are the things that allowed him to swiftly progress into a manager position. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be straight up and honest with you. There's people on the other side, white, from Guernsey, Jersey, whatever, from private school educated, in with the banter, half as competent in terms of what I mean by that. They're not putting in their hearts and minds into things, but they're able to progress as much as Dilmurod with half the work, basically.
Sure.
You see, so what I mean to say is put your heart and effort into it, and you're going to develop yourself more than anything, and then people are going to rate you for it. And do your best to obviously be an approachable person. But at the end of the day, if you smash your work, nobody's going to have any qualms with that. You're going to get through, God willing, to the place that you want to be. And that's it, man. At the end of the day, that's a reality that well, you know, the diversity we see, the diversity we see on the streets is not being incorporated into corporate life or into startups, and that's why these podcasts, such as, you know, Mala AJ is conducting right now, is very
making
important.
Making me cry, making me blush.
Nah, exactly, my boy. Nah, I appreciate you, my guy. And the more voices we have, the more it's going to raise that awareness, and the more that, you know, it's going to spur that change. So I appreciate you, my guy, and, you know, every more powers to you, more blessings, my brother.
Just a few more questions, and I'll just tell a little story, actually. So myself and my team, we've just come back from Santa Maria de Fera, which is a... I know, y'all got my little accent going on. You see me, baby. I'm out here. International. No. Hey, so we spoke at our first workshop, international workshop. Mm. And we got to, you know, rub shoulders with ambassadors from countries the likes of Czech Republic, Sweden, Switzerland, and Portugal. And their focus on, I wouldn't necessarily say diversity, but their focus on inclusion. So some of these countries, Portugal in particular, have a problem with unskilled workforce. 65% of their workforce is unskilled. So they're really pushing initiatives to get young people into careers, into opportunities, and push them down the lines of business. So then when we look at diversity and inclusion, we tend to think of gender, race, ethnicity. I think it's important that we open our eyes to it also being age-wise, right? So the next generation will unfortunately pass, and a new generation is coming up. And 100%. My hopes is that if we can have these honest conversations with people in our age brackets and people younger, and let them know the importance of diversity, then when they get into those positions, when they rise, perhaps they can stretch their hands back and bring forth a new regime. Just on that note there, let's leave our listeners with a little bit more about you. Yeah. In regards to your career, both personal and professional, what do you wish you had known earlier?
Ooh, okay. Before I mention, can I just touch, because you just beautifully, when you mentioned everything about, you know, your trip there, I just wanted to say Santa Maria de Fera, oh my days, boy, like, you know what I'm saying? Hold tight the senors and senoritas every day. I just wanted to mention one point quickly, and that is, as a diverse founder, student, wherever you are, always know that your opinion counts, and your approach to problems, your approach to business situations
is unique,
and it's so credible, and it's so valuable to anybody, be it, and know that you being young, that's the thing that if I could change about myself and how I was, I underestimated myself. And that's the thing about us. We're underestimated. I like using the word underestimated founders, right? Because we underestimate ourselves and people underestimate us. And when we realized how the way we grew up, the scenarios that we faced have shaped us to be unique individuals, worthy of voicing our opinions and bringing that to the table, nothing can stop us, right? And nothing can be more powerful than that, realizing that, fam, like, these people have a certain way of going about things. They've been, you know, middle class, white, you know, middle aged as well. But me, as a young, diverse person, I've got so much to give, right? And yeah, that's empowering. And one thing that I could have done differently, was that the question, right?
Yes, sir.
When I started growing up. So man, it would be just trying out, as a young person, just trying out new things. You know, impact theory, Tom Bilyeu mentions about trying out things like at a young age, maybe going down coding, design, UX, and didn't know anything apart from what my old man used to tell me about, whether that's, you know, going down, I don't know, engineering or learning maths or whatever it was, like my dad was trying to tell me about, be a doctor, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, go down the medicine route. So
shout out to Kwaku.
Shout out to Kwaku. He's right here. Oh, you see Kwaku in the back, yeah? Yeah, he's just right behind me. But anyway, so it's about valuing yourself and, yeah, definitely just trying things, because you're never going to know what you love and what you like until you try them, man. So yeah, just try out as much things as you can that you think that you'd like, and then just go down that route.
I think that's a beautiful topic to end on. Let's find out where we can find out more about you and where can we find you in the socials.
Socials, man. So LinkedIn is obviously the traditional thing right there. So that's linkedin.com/IN/MuhammadMalik0. That's MuhammadMalik0. And on socials, I'm MalikShake0. And that's Instagram. And and what else am I on? Yeah, that's it.
beautiful. Listen, I want to say thank you. I appreciate your time, appreciate the conversation, and looking forward to doing it again.
Appreciate you, AJ, man. Keep it going. More powers to you, my brother.
Amazing.